Good morning. The weather needs to figure out what it's doing. I know this is the third week in a row that I've talked about this, but it really does. It was almost 70 yesterday. And this morning it was 23. Oh. But in all reality, the weather doesn't need to figure out what it's doing because it takes its direction from God. And so should we. So let's listen for his voice and pray together. The altars are open. Let us come together as the community that we are and listen for his voice. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I know for me it's been a crazy week, and I'm sure for many others. Lord, I pray that even when it's crazy, we would hear your voice, that we would call out to you and seek your will, even amongst the storm. Lord, I pray for those who aren't here this morning, that your hand would be on them, especially if it's due to sickness or illness, Lord. Whether it be by your miraculous hand or the miraculous nature of medicine, Lord, let them be healed. I pray, Lord, as we continue into the service, hearing your word on this Palm Sunday, that we would worship you. The music may be over, but the worship doesn't stop, Lord. So I pray that we would worship you. Addie's already still worshiping. Lord, you know what we come to you with. You know what we have. I pray that we would give it all in the process of that worship. That we wouldn't care what it looks like, what it feels like, as long as it is for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, worship team. It was cute this morning. who was it? Sophie was sitting on the cajon and starting to play it a little bit, right? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, we can put you both up there at the same time. It's good to see everybody in God's house this morning. Franklin mentioned that he's having trouble with that one day of summer that we had, but anyway, the heat's still on. We didn't turn it down yet, so we're good. But it's nice to have at least a sunny day, a Palm Sunday morning. Always a special day as we lead towards Easter. And we do have palms on the back table or up here that you're welcome to take as many as you'd like after service. Tyler's probably going to talk about them or something a little bit. We never know what's up his sleeve, short sleeve or not. But we do just a few announcements that we have. We are still working through. We have a weekly Bible study. The men and ladies are together for that, talking about looking at studying the Bible and reading the Bible and understanding a little bit about it so that we have a greater context on how that applies to us. So we encourage you to come for that each week, Wednesday, 6:30. Some other things going on. I know the men had breakfast yesterday, so if you weren't here, you missed out.
There was bacon.
There was bacon left. We kind of had to scarf it down at the end, but that's okay. It's a job we're willing to do. The ladies will meet in a few weeks for theirs, the third Saturday. And other than that, we look forward to celebrating Easter with all of you next week. We're going to have a few refreshments and things like that just to make that time a little special before and after. It's always real nice how we just fellowship and share that time before and after church. So we're glad to see the Holy Spirit working in and through us. You know, that last song that we sang, those words couldn't be truer, right? That is certainly my prayer, that we're obedient to what God has us called to do. So with that, Barb is going to come and read our scripture for us. My lovely friend Barb.
Good morning. Today I'm reading Matthew 21, 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of the donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Thank you.
like, what's going to burst right through the wall? Something's going to burst right through here because there's drums, there's people singing, and there's all sorts of stuff going on. And then I hear it make way for Prince Ali. Prince Ali from Aladdin? Gabe, what is that coming from your phone? He had an alarm that was the song for when Aladdin is coming in and they're saying, make way for Prince Ali. Of all people, of course it was him, though. I don't know why it was going off, however, whatever time it was. It was way too early for anybody to be up. But yeah, it was something. And today we're talking about the triumphant arrival of Jesus. And Jesus was coming to the city of Jerusalem. They're going to celebrate the Passover, and people knew when Jesus was about to get someplace. They knew when he was coming. People would talk about it. And so as he's coming into Jerusalem, everybody, they're getting excited. And as it says, they would put their cloaks down in front of Jesus as he's coming in. And other people are grabbing palm branches, and they're throwing them down under the ground in the way for the donkey to walk, because this is their king. The king of the Jews is coming. And so they put these palm branches down, and they're waving. They're so excited. And other people are like, "What? Who is this? Who's this? I don't know who that is. Who's coming?" And they're like, "This is Jesus, a prophet from Nazareth." And so people are talking about what's going on. So if they didn't know already, now they are excited because they hear, a prophet? What do you mean a prophet? Yes, this guy raised a man from the dead. And this guy does miracles. He heals people. And he has so much wisdom that he shares with people. And so they're all like, "Ooh, that sounds really good. Let's grab some palm branches too. Come on, everybody. Hosanna, Hosanna." And Hosanna means, it's an expression of joy, praise, adoration. And so they're saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And so they're putting all these on the road because they're so excited. Jesus is here. It is his triumphant arrival. And now God doesn't always come in a triumphant arrival kind of way. Sometimes it's like with Elijah when God said he was going to reveal himself to Elijah. And so then there's this huge earthquake, and God wasn't in the earthquake. Then there's this fire that breaks out. God wasn't in the fire. And then there's a whisper. And God was in the whisper. Sometimes if we're not looking, if we're not paying attention, if we're not seeking where God is and where he is working, we might miss what he is doing. Other times, he comes like this, on a donkey, and riding into town, and everybody waving palm branches, being so excited. Let's pray. Lord, as I speak, help me to speak as you want me to. Help me to say what you want me to say. Help us to be listening the way that you want us to be listening. Speak to me, speak to each of us, Lord. And we thank you for all that you have in store for us. Amen. Now, Jesus, as he's coming into town, though, people don't realize what's going to happen. He knows what's going to happen. And so as Jesus is coming into town, everybody's putting their palm branches down and putting their cloaks down. But they don't realize what he knows. What he knows is that they're actually leading the way for him to go onto the cross. That's where he's headed. When he came into Jerusalem, he was coming to die. That is what he was doing. He was coming to die for me, for you, for all of us. For the people that put him on the cross. Because when he's on the cross, he says, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they are doing." Jesus was going to die for all of us. That's what he was coming to do. Jesus loves us that much. That's how much he does. And in Romans, it says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. It didn't matter. People think that we have to come to God when they get their life put together. That's not how it works, and how many of us can really put our lives together? We can put our lives together in some ways, but we ultimately cannot take sin out of our lives. We are human. We are not perfect. We make mistakes. Sometimes they're intentional mistakes. We are not perfect. We do things that we shouldn't do. But God is the one who can fix that. He is the one who can fix our hearts, fix our minds, and so sometimes people, they sometimes think that they have to go to God after they get things worked out, after they straighten their lives around. But there's only so much straightening that you can do on your own. There's only so much straightening that your friends and family can help you do. You need God. We all need God. He is the one who can fix these things in our lives. And so we don't come to God already fixed. He's going to look at our duct tape job and be like, oh dear. Well, I'm glad you put in some effort, but you really should have seen me sooner. When we go to God, we just bring all the pieces and say, God, please help. And he will put those pieces back together. If we sincerely want him to change our lives for the better, then he will. While we were still sinners, that is when Jesus died for us. He didn't wait for us to get our acts together. We can't undo the sin that we have done. We've made mistakes. Now, sometimes you can apologize and you can do certain things to make things better. But there are a lot of mistakes that we have made out there. We cannot change. What is done is done. And so we come to God while we're still sinners. And it is God sent his Son, the only one who is perfect, the only person who ever lived on earth and never sinned, Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice. He gave his life for us. That's what he was going to do. So as he's walking into the city, he sees all these people praising him. But where were they all going to be a week later when the Pharisees are saying, crucify him, crucify him, and getting everybody else to say, crucify him? Sometimes we can change our attitude and our opinion so quickly. Within a week, we can change it so drastically. But Jesus, it doesn't matter to him. Because what he knows is that all these people that I see, they all need, we all need Jesus. And he sees us, and he knows that, and he wants us to have eternal life with him. So as he's coming into the city, he's not coming simply to be praised. He's not coming simply to celebrate the Passover. He is coming on a mission. He is on a mission to save us. And I think of the Apostle Paul before he was an apostle. And so as Paul, he believed in God. He was a Jew, and Jesus was a Jew. Like, Christians only come now that we follow Jesus also. And so Paul, he was under the mindset that God is God, but Jesus, that's not the Son of God. He didn't think that was the Son of God. And so he's saying, all these Christians, we need to just throw them in prison. We don't need that nonsense that they have to share. And so he was doing things to try to get rid of all the Christians. He's fighting against not just Christians, but God. And he doesn't even realize he's fighting against his own God. And he got permission so that he could go around to other places to gather the Christians, pull them out of their homes, and put them into prison. That's what Paul was doing. He was fighting people and he was fighting God, and he didn't even realize it. This guy needed so much mercy, and he had no idea how much help he needed. And then on his way, he's already been committing crimes against God, and he's about to commit some more. And in the nick of time, Jesus comes to him and he says, well, his name was Saul then. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul hadn't realized yet what all he had done wrong. But he comes to realize Jesus is real. See, Jesus came. He lived on earth for 33 years. And for those last 3 years was his years of ministry, where he would tell people about God. He would tell people about what he was going to do. He would tell people the good news that he was going to save them. And he would do these miracles and forgive sins. He would do all these things. And then he's crucified, comes back to life, and then he spends some more time on earth for a few weeks, and then he goes up into heaven. You'd think that Saul/Paul had missed all of his opportunities. No, that's not going to stop Jesus. And so Jesus came and he appeared to Paul after all of this, and he basically turned Paul's life around so that he was no longer Saul, the one who was persecuting the church, but Paul, the one who was helping the church grow and strengthen. He would go around after that, church to church, spreading the good news to different people in the area, building churches. And church is not, it's not the building. There are church buildings, but the church is the people. We are the church. And so he would gather Christians so that they could meet, and then he would help them get set up so that there was people that could help guide them as they went, and then he would go on to the next place to lead more people to Christ. And then he would write letters. And even when he's in prison, he's still writing letters so that these people can continue to grow in their relationship with God. So Paul, all the things that he had done fighting against God, of all people, God's going to forgive him? Yes. God, of course, is going to forgive him. If Paul sincerely says, Lord, help me to live for you, and that's exactly what Paul decided to do. And then, that's not it. God has Paul now serving the whole church, the global church. He's going around spreading the good news and encouraging Christians to live more and more in Christ's likeness. And so if Paul can go from one extreme to the other, if he can be forgiven and he can serve God, what's our excuse? We don't have one. We don't have a good excuse at all. We need to be living the lives that God wants us to live also, whatever that might look like. So with all these things going on, Jesus, he comes at the right time. Jesus' triumphant arrival, whether it's a whisper or on a donkey and everybody's shouting, Hosanna, whatever the case is, Jesus is there when we need him. The Romans Road, it's five scriptures in the book of Romans, which is a letter that Paul wrote. It is a collection of really, really good scriptures, basically saying what we need to do. In Romans 3, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." We have all sinned. We have all fallen short. We've all made mistakes. And then in chapter 6, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The price that we have to pay for our sin is death. Do we deserve eternal life with God? No. And I think it means death in more than one sense of the word. It's not even just a physical death. When we are living with sin, when we are living without God, are we really living? I don't think so. We might have the freedom to do whatever we want with sin, but we have freedom from sin with God. We have the freedom that we don't have to sin. We don't have to keep on making mistakes. We are going to some. But when we get to be with God in heaven for the rest of eternity, then he'll take care of that for the rest of that as well. The price of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That is the gift that God has for all of us. Whatever we have done, that is the gift that he has for us. In Romans 5, it says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still sinners, he was paying the price for all of our sin. He did not wait for us to get our act together. He just went ahead and did it in the hopes that we would accept him. And then in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, it says, "If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." And in verse 13 it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." If we call on him, we will be saved. If we call on him insincerely, I don't think that's how that works. But if we sincerely say, "Lord," there's one person in the Bible where that was talking to Jesus, and he says, "Help me to overcome my unbelief. Lord, help us to live how you want us to, even if we don't even understand it, even if we know we are struggling to grasp it. Lord, help me to want what you want." That is what we can be praying for, because we know we're not perfect. But if we ask him, "Lord, help me," then he will help us if we really want that. God comes when we need him to. He arrives when we need him to. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace, they were in need. But they said, "You know what? We're going to stand on the side of God no matter what. And he's going to rescue us from this fiery furnace. And even if he doesn't, we're not changing sides." So they are taken into the fiery furnace. The guards taking them in, they're really big, strong guards. They got burned up on their way in. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego keep on walking in. And then they're like, the guys looking in are like, weren't there three? Now there's four people walking around in there. And they're just walking around. They're not screaming or anything. And I don't know if it was Jesus, if it was an angel, but whatever it was, it doesn't matter who it is. Because even with us, we are God's hands and feet. People don't see God, it says in 1 John, but they see God through us. They see him working. And so whether it is Jesus himself or one of us that is in his place doing what God wants us to do, we have the arrival when we need it. Jesus is there with us when we need him. And just as I said with Paul, he was basically throwing his life away. He didn't even realize that he needed God. And still, Jesus is there when he needed him. And again, sometimes it's not in this big arrival. Sometimes, sometimes God isn't coming like a roaring lion into our battle. Sometimes we might be thinking like, Lord, it's too late. We can tell God it's too late, but are we right? Probably not, because God is always right. And so when we say to God, like, Lord, it's too late. Where have you been? Now I'm going to die, or now I'm in the fiery furnace, or now I'm in the lion's den. Well, God didn't show up with Daniel like a roaring lion. He showed up as the opposite, because those lions' mouths were shut as soon as Daniel got in there. And so then, well, and you might think, wow, those lions must not have been very hungry. Apparently, too many people have been thrown into the lion's den lately. No, because as soon as they got Daniel out, and the king's like, okay, where's those people that got Daniel thrown in? All right, now you're going in. And they didn't even touch the ground before they were ripped to pieces. Those lions were so hungry. They didn't even touch the ground. Now, God doesn't always come like a roaring lion. Sometimes he's the opposite, closing the mouths of those roaring lions. We might think it's too late, and God's like, you just wait. Sometimes it's something huge, something big, something flashy, and sometimes it is in a whisper. But we have to be looking. We have to be waiting, because if we decide, you know, if Daniel had decided, you know what? I don't think I'm going to pray like God wants me to. I'm going to hightail it out of here. And well, then he wouldn't have seen God work. He wouldn't have seen it. If you're trying to escape the situation God is allowing you to be in, because God's saying, you know what? I actually want you to be in that situation. Sometimes God might want you to flee, like King David before he was king. And other times, God is saying, stay right where you are, because I have plans, and I will be there when you need me. He's watching the whole time as we are going through it. He is there with us. And the Israelites, they drive me insane. But they also remind me a lot of me. And time after time, when they're doing the things they shouldn't be doing, God has just rescued them out of Egypt, done so many miracles, and then they're saying, God, where are you? They say to Moses, were there no graves in Egypt that you had to bring us out here to die in the desert instead? They're up against the Red Sea, and the Egyptians are coming behind them, and like, why would you do this to us? We told you it was a bad idea. And then what God says to Moses is, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water, and go. He's like, why are you crying to me? Move on, put your staff over the sea, and keep going. That is what God is saying. And sometimes we're like, well, God, where are you? I can't see you. You're not here. Why don't you come when I need you to? And God is like, you gotta take a few more steps. You haven't even made it yet to the best part. And as soon as the people are stepping into the sea, the sea is going to side and side, it's being spread so they can walk through on dry ground. That's not how that generally works. You know, seas don't part and anything like that. But God is there. He will arrive. He is king. Just as Jesus arrived into Jerusalem, he knew the mission that was at hand. People didn't realize the mission that was at hand, but he knew what he was doing, and he knew who was going to be triumphant. Then there's Stephen. Like I said, Paul did some nasty things when he was not living for God, when he thought he was living for God but really wasn't. There was a man, Stephen, and that's an amazing story, I think, the story of Stephen. But Paul, it says, is basically standing there in approval during this while Stephen is being stoned. Because you might say, well, Lord, where are you when I need you? Because now here, I'm going to die, and maybe we're going to actually die, and maybe we're not physically going to die, but we feel like it. But God is still there. When Stephen, this is Acts chapter 7, but there's like three chapters on Stephen. And Stephen tells the leaders of the law, he tells them all the things that they're supposed to know, and they're like, "What? Who are you talking? You talking to us?" But obviously they don't know the law nearly as well as they think they do. And after he's done doing this, it says, when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus was standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven opened up, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. When they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, just like Jesus had, "Lord, do not hold this against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. He was going to do exactly what God wanted him to. How many of us are that brave? I'm not raising my hand. How many of us are basically going to go stand up to the people who are supposed to be the ones that know what they're doing, who are supposed to be leading us in what we are doing? He was willing to say to those people that claim to follow God and really were not doing a good job of it at all, and tell them what they needed to hear. Not because we're angry. You know, don't go to people because you're angry. Go to people because God is saying go to people. And so when he is there, he tells them what they needed to hear. Filled with the Holy Spirit, not with an angry spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, as things are happening, he's seeing Jesus is there. Jesus didn't leave him. Jesus was right there watching over this whole situation. And right to the end, he is saying, "Lord, don't hold this against them. They don't know what they're doing." And God was just calling Stephen home to be with him for the rest of eternity, where there is no pain and no suffering. Whatever situation it is that we are facing, God is where we will find victory. Jesus arrives with this triumphant arrival right when we need him. 1 Corinthians says, "But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not through anything else either. Sometimes we try to say, well, this is a good way to go about things. No. Well, this is a pretty good way to go about things. No. Jesus is the only good, truly good way to go about things. And when we are operating the way that God wants us to, when we are living the lives he wants us to, that is when we will have the victory, because we're standing there on God's side, looking to him for all of our guidance, looking to him for all of our strength, looking to him for all of everything that we need. Thanks be to God, because through him we have the victory. It's so difficult to live like that. But when we know that Jesus is coming in his timing, in the right situations, what do we have to be afraid of? God is good. God is love. And he wants to fill us with this love and this goodness so that we can live our lives for him, spreading the good news, telling other people about what Jesus has done. Whatever it is that you're facing, whatever it is that you're going to face, if we are looking for God, He is going to be there. He will arrive right when we need Him. And it's not because He's somewhere else. He is right there watching over us, saying, keep on going, keep on going. Don't cry out to me. He'll listen, but keep on going, keep on going. Don't stop, because when you get there, when you get up to that point where God's saying, all right, now is when I'm really coming in. God is always there with us, always there trying to fill us with strength and courage. We have a hard time accepting it sometimes, but He is always right there filling us with all that we need. But as we go continuing on with His timing, He will be there in full force right when we need Him. Let's pray. Lord, You are amazing. You are so, so good, Lord. Help us to give You everything as You gave us everything. Help us to be more like You, living more like You. Help us to be waiting for Your arrival in our lives. Lord, maybe we've already committed our lives. Maybe we haven't committed our lives to You. Lord, please help us to live for You. Maybe we've committed our lives to You time and time again. But Lord, all we have to do is say, Lord, forgive me for what I have done. Help me to be the person You want me to be. And He will guide us and strengthen us, changing our lives so that we can be free from sin, free from fear, free from suffering. Lord, fill us with Your Holy Spirit so that we can live for You, living the lives You want us to live, being the people You want us to be, being the messengers, the representatives of God that You want us to be. Help us to tell other people who You are, what You've done in our lives. And Lord, if You haven't been working enough in our lives because we haven't been accepting You into our lives like we should, Lord, help us. Help us to accept more of You in our lives. Help us to welcome You into our hearts and our minds so that we can truly be transformed into the amazing people that You know we can be. Help us not to rely on our human strength or other people's strength or any kind of resources that there are in the world. Help us to rely solely on You. You are so good, Lord. Help us to be filled with more of You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand.
Whatever it is that you have to do to make way for God, whether it's making the way by putting these out in front of you, whatever it is, whether it's opening your eyes and just seeing God work, whether it's welcoming God into your heart and into your life for the first time or the 100th time, whatever it is, just make way for Him. Whatever it is that you're doing, whatever it is you're going through, just make way for Him, because through Him we can truly have life. He is King, He is God, and He is love. He loves us so much. He wants what's best for us, and He wants to help us. So let's just make a way for Him. Have a good week.